But we want to welcome to the program right now Mary Claire Kendall, and she's the author of Oasis, Convergent Stories of Hollywood Legends. Mary Claire, welcome to the program.
Hello, hello.
Hi, Mary.
Hi.
It's nice to finally talk to you. We've been
yes,
in correspondence.
Yes,
yes, with email. So we're really excited about this book, and I'm just curious about your own involvement. What inspired you to write this book?
Oh, right. Well, I have done spec screenwriting, and I love Hollywood, and I love my faith. And I started writing about Betty Hutton just in 2007, just shortly before she died. I was introduced to her by seeing her being interviewed on Robert Osborne, the private screenings show that he does on Turner Classic Movies. Mm-hmm. And I was just blown away. I mean, she was just an amazing, amazing individual. So that was my first. And then gradually, as these legends started passing the scene, Jane Wyman, there were more and more. And my mother just basically said, you know, hey, you should write a book of profiles.
Oh, that's cool.
And yeah, it was it's very cool because in the process of writing this book, she became sick. It was kind of a miracle book and died within the month. So it was last summer. Yeah,
I'm anxious to find out. I mean, some of these stories I'm sure are what we don't have time to cover every one of them. But even before we get into the individuals who we're going to talk about in your book, Gabriella and I were talking a little earlier today before the program, and I was saying how in the earlier days of Hollywood, the 30s, the 40s, Hollywood was very kind to the church and to people and to faith and to people of faith. I mean, the Song of Bernadette won Best Picture in 1944 or whatever the year was.
Mm-hmm.
Bing Crosby, we know, with his Going My Way and Bells of St. Mary as Father O'Malley. Very kind. That's obviously changed. There's not a lot of that same kindness toward the church or towards faith-based type of storylines, but and I think today part of the problem with actors and actresses who are people of faith, who are Christian Catholic people, they can't be or are not as open as maybe they would like to be or should be. But let's go back to the early days here. And what did you find of and you mentioned in your book, and I'll just throw out a few names here: Alfred Hitchcock, Gary Cooper, Bob Hope, Mary Astor. You mentioned Betty Hutton. John Wayne, what did you, any of these that you mentioned, Betty Hutton, any others that were really striking to you as a conversion story?
Oh, they were all, all incredible stories, incredible actors, you know, larger than life. It's just amazing, really. I know the priest who baptized Ann Miller just towards the end of her life said it's just amazing how God is operating, you know, in the lives of these. In everybody's life, but mm-hmm. especially in the lives of these stars, the little things that happen, and that he happened to be at the hospital when she was dying. Nobody knew she was going to be, you know, she wasn't going to live out the night that mm-hmm. he baptized her. So
wow.
I think God's grace, how God, and the fact that these stars who are just so amazing found God, that's just a really powerful lesson. So you say Hollywood isn't too kind, but these, to the Catholic faith mm-hmm. or to faith, but these lives are so stories are so dramatic that mm-hmm. I mean, you look at these and you think, wow, this is like made for cinema. So, but let's see, John Wayne, every one of them, Bob Hope. Some of them were longer trajectories. Some of them were quite dramatic.
Mm-hmm. I know like, Bob Hope. Dolores was a very good practicing Catholic. His wife.
Yeah,
and I know she was even a big help to the network, our network, EWTN. I know that there's a side chapel in the Basilica in Washington that they donated money to Our Lady of Hope.
Yeah.
But even through all that, Bob didn't become Catholic, did he? It was later, almost.
I actually ran into her in 94. It was about that time that they dedicated the
chapel,
mm-hmm. Our Lady of Hope. And he would have converted in like 1996.
Okay.
It was so he died in 2003. He was 100.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, so about 1996.
But that's still
he
a
was
long.
Very with it.
They were married a long time though for him. To,
yeah.
You know, and she was such a devout Catholic.
Yeah.
But isn't it? Was it? Was it? Was something that he had always thought about, or she asked him to?
No, or was his religion was comedy, he said.
Yeah,
no,
okay.
But I think if you read my book, I think, I mean, I sort of piece it together. I mean, he was like God. I mean, he was the entertainer, you know,
right.
par excellence.
Right.
I mean, he was into big business. And then gradually, you know, he sort of lost his mojo. I mean, he was at the Reagan Library when it was being dedicated. He was relocated to the tram. He didn't have a seat in the limousine.
Wow.
Making small talk with Michael Eisner and Lou Wasserman. Yeah, so I think that must have hit him between the eyes and just said, wait a minute, you know, my life is changing. And so, and then their, you know, marriage got better. It was, you know, there were a lot of challenges, through the years.
So, did a lot of them kind of convert later on in life? Is that the common theme? No.
It's all over the map.
Okay.
Jane Wyman became a Catholic in the 50s. I think it really helped. I think all of them, the common theme you're looking for, it's always they hit a crisis point.
Oh,
you know, she
okay.
She lost her second child, Christina, and that I think women and men grieve differently. That's my theory. I think that probably wasn't helpful to the marriage, and there were other things. And so, you know, she hit this crisis point, and she was there's a lot of things. I mean, that her friend Loretta Young, but also I discovered, and this was after my mom died, it was just an amazing thing I happened upon, the priest. I happened to be out in San Francisco, and this priest, I just happened to go to Mass. I was visiting my cousins, and he turned out to be the nephew of the woman who was the nanny to the Reagan children, and every morning she'd go to Mass. She was from Roscommon, Ireland.
Yeah.
And one morning, Jane Wyman said to her, this is like right after the war, what do you do every morning? I go to Mass. And you know that made an impression.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow. That's interesting.
And that was like a miracle. That was a miracle of my mom, for sure. I mean,
I was going to say, your mom must have been like, she's the one that told you to write the book too, right?
Well, she suggested, because, you know, you write an article, you can't really make a living on articles, so she suggested people love biography. And, but yeah, I mean,
and
that
then
was,
she
the,
was like,
the most. It was like 1 in 500 billion to actually happen upon this priest.
Right.
I was just going out to San Francisco early this year.
Your mom must have been a woman of great faith then, too.
My mother was a saint.
Wow.
Yes,
yeah.
Claire was her name. She's a beautiful woman.
Oh, cool.
And I heard, and you can clarify this because it's a chapter in your book, Chapter 6, John Wayne. Did he have a deathbed conversion, or is that not true?
I like to say, well, his daughter-in-law said that he was an intellectual Catholic, that what kept him from taking that final step was because of his checkered marital record.
Mm-hmm.
He was somewhat allergic to faith. You know, John Wayne, you can sort of see that. But he loved the Catholic faith. Indeed, like the day before he died, he was baptized, went to confession, and that is such a dramatic story because he was in a coma.
Yeah.
And then his son would be like, well, the priest can see you. And he'd like, wake up. He said, okay.
Mm-hmm.
So when he came out of the coma?
I mean, he was seemingly really out of it. But when he was alerted to the fact that the Paulist priest was there to, you know, would come to hear his confession, you know, he said, okay.
Yeah, wow.
That was amazing.
I have a quick question. You had we wrote back and forth, and you had said that one of them, I forget which Hollywood star, had devotion to the little flower, and you do as well. So can you just talk about that for a little bit?
Mary Astor. Mary Astor, really very, very devoted. She, in fact, that was part of her faith, her conversion process. She'd, you know, pray, and she was reading the St. Teresa, the very saccharine kind of autobiography, and she was like, ah! But then she read this sentence, like, Jesus Christ is Lord, and it just hit her between the eyes, you know.
Mm.
Wow. If he could, you know, if God can become man and anything's possible. And no, but during the process, she would, you know, little rose things that would occur, and her husband would just like, you know, say, oh, that's silly. But she really knew there were certain miraculous things that happened along the lines of St. Teresa. When she's answering prayer, she'll, you know, send roses. And the priest kind of poo-pooed that too, but she knew. She knew it was real.
Right.
And So
that was her.
She was very devoted. That Mary Astor, who was the when she made Maltese Falcon. Are you familiar with that? The
Humphrey Bogart
classic.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. Humphrey Bogart, Mary Astor film. She had just converted to Catholicism.
Oh wow!
Wow.
Okay.
Cool.
Yeah.
Yeah. So are these, and in these days, and I mentioned earlier, and again, I oversimplified the fact, but we know that that particular profession, vocation, isn't, and I'm sure even then, wasn't very conducive to living a good,
moral
rock
life.
Solid Catholic Christian life, because we hear stories that, you know, although in those days there were morality clauses and things in people's contracts, where if they were caught in certain situations, they were let go.
Oh, they did.
Studio.
They, after Gloria Swanson in the 20s,
yeah,
they did put a morality clause because, yeah, things were getting pretty wild.
Yeah, so it must have been difficult for these actors and actresses, these people who have become legends, to it is a big thing for them to come home to the church and come back to Christ, or come to Christ at all, given where they were.
Well, yeah, and no, absolutely. But what you were saying about what they would cover things up, you know, because they did have morality clauses. But now, like, anything goes. I mean, Betty Hutton would always go on stage, and she'd before she came to Hollywood, she'd always say a prayer. You know, she was a devout Lutheran. But then she said, "Hollywood, I just kind of lost that. I mean, it's so overwhelming. The money, the fame, you know, it's just." Hollywood, you know, being in these films, and it just captures, you're just such a huge star, it captures everybody's imagination, and just sways. I mean, John Wayne helped win World War II with his two films, you know, and Betty Hutton was the can-do. She was very big star in World War II. So, huge. So it just took her away from God. It took, you know, so it's just the temptations of life, and we're just human, you know.
We're talking with Mary Claire Kendall. She's the author of Oasis: Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends. And we were talking a little bit earlier about this, and in today's Hollywood culture, people...
There's still conversions going on.
I just saw over the weekend, there was a picture of Leah Remini, who from King of Queens, I guess who had been raised Catholic, went to Scientology, just had her teenage daughter baptized into the church.
Oh, who is this?
Leah Remini from King of Queens.
Wow. And I read an interview, I think it was in GQ, Stephen Colbert.
Yes.
He's very impacted
He teaches catechism class on Sunday mornings in Montclair at his church, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, he's saying, know, love, and serve God. That's his mantra.
One time when he was on doing it, he just now began this week, the host of Late Night on CBS. But when his previous program, he came on, it was an Ash Wednesday, and he had gotten ashes, and the makeup people wanted to cover it up, and he wouldn't let them.
Really?
So he went on the air with ashes on his head.
Now, that is hardcore.
That's a statement. Yeah, that's really a statement.
So it's nice to hear those stories, but it's also neat to hear about these, those who have since become, are considered to be legends, like Alfred Hitchcock, Gary Cooper, Bob Hope, Mary Astor, all of your subjects here. So I'm sure it's a wonderful, wonderful book, and we encourage our listeners to find out more about it. How can they do that, Mary Claire?
Oh, they can get it on Amazon. It's all over the web. I've been running around the country to Barnes & Nobles.
It's
in Manhattan. It's you know, I was there at the end of August. It's in Newport. It's in Chicago.
Great.
That's the biggest. Los Angeles. I've been to Burbank, Studio City, Hollywood, West Hollywood. Where else have I been?
That's crazy.
You know, and if it's not in the store, they'll get it, you know, in a couple days.
Okay, so it's called Oasis: Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends, and Mary Claire Kendall has been our guest. She's the author of this book, and wonderful stories of conversion by some of the biggest names ever in the film industry. So we thank you, Mary Claire, for compiling that and putting that together for us.
Thank you.
Hey, Mary, real quick, was this your first book or no?
It is my first book that I've published. I have a book that's just been greenlighted about Hemingway. 2018, I'm going to do a sequel to this, Oasis 2. And I did edit a book about a gentleman who was very close to the Kennedys, changed the face of Washington, Bill Walton.
Okay.
So you have the two circles of, like, Catholic and popular figures that overlap.
Yeah.
Like the Venn diagram.
Philanthropist.
That's cool.
That's great.
Thank you
so much for sharing your time with us today, and good luck on the book.
Thank you.
Thanks,
God
Mary
bless
Claire.
You. Bye-bye.
Bye.
All righty. So again, the title of the book is Oasis: Conversion Stories of Hollywood Legends.